This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenna Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Sarah Evers Conrad from Lexington, Kentucky. And you are listening to the monthly Horse Illustrated episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 28th. This is a special episode of Horses in the Morning every fourth Tuesday of the month, brought to you by Horse Illustrated Magazine. Good morning, Horse World.
The fourth Tuesday of every month is all about your passion for horses. Nurture your knowledge with informative and entertaining interviews. Brought to you by Horse Illustrated Magazine.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. Hey, Sarah. Hey, I got to tell you something. When we were on the road show, traveling around, visiting with listeners, I had a lot of listeners who are really enjoying your episode, especially all the cool guests you get.
Oh, well, that's great. We always strive to have interesting people on every time.
Well, tell us who's on today.
On today's show, we will be talking to breakaway roping superstar Jackie Hobbs Crawford about her illustrious competitive career and being a mom, Dwayne Hildreth about his work on the board of Brook USA, and to international trainer Daniel Stewart about equestrian sports psychology and how to be bolder, braver, and brighter.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Daniel again. He's been coming on our shows. We haven't had him on in a while, but probably 10 years ago we had him on the first time. And his brand new book out, so I can't wait to hear about that. But also, like a week or two ago, I was at the American Horse Publications, and you weren't there because you couldn't make it this year. But we missed you. Everybody asked about you, and everybody knew that you were doing a podcast with us. But Horse Illustrated did pretty well in the awards there.
Yeah, we did really well. We got a photography award for Shelley Paulson. She did a second place. I'd love the photo because it's like a overlooking. It was a drone photograph, so really interesting, that was published in Horse Illustrated. Then we got several magazine awards for different articles for freelancers Daniel Johnson and Amy Hemp. And even though those two were third places, but out of 34 entries and 16 entries. So, you know,
even the podcasting category had 20 entries this year. I mean, we've never had 20 entries.
It's definitely grown. I remember. Yeah. When it was smaller,
it was one,
so.
It was me. That's yes. What it was.
And then we also, several of our freelancers entered awards, Allison Renborg, Kara Stewart, Shelley Paulson, and Jennifer Bryan, and all of them got awards for their various entries for Horse Illustrated. Actually, Jennifer Bryan's was for Young Rider, so Young Rider picked up an award. But the most exciting one, and we're super excited, out of 10 entries in the General Excellence Self-Supported Publication category for 15,000 and over subscribers, we got runner-up. So second place, and I believe Keelan Magazine was first, and that is always a beautiful publication.
That's a beautiful magazine.
So, you know, it's, and so we are thrilled. We won that.
Well, they have Keelan money to put it out, too. That helps.
And we won that category a few years ago, so, you know, still keep it on. And the judges gave such great comments, so it's really great to see the feedback from them.
I was so proud because every time Horse Illustrated popped up, I was like, yes.
Well, yeah, you could cheer for us.
I was cheering for you.
I listened to the podcast episode that you did with all the different people. And of course, my favorite story that you shared was about this tie, your bolero tie, and yes. A little birdie who writes romance novels. A little birdie told me to ask you if you're getting ads popping up for Scorpion Bolero ties.
You know, the people who think your phones aren't listening are wrong, because we talked about those Valero ties, and I never searched for it or anything, and within 2 hours, ads started popping up. And they joked about getting me a scorpion one that was a scorpion, and I got ads for that 2 hours later for that exact tie.
I think I'm Team Jamie. I think the Longhorn was a good shot.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, Carly. I know you were rooting for the scorpion.
I wouldn't have worn the scorpion one. They creep me out. But so,
yeah,
but
I wouldn't be wanting to wear it.
I looked pretty good, I thought, actually, for my English self and my Western tie. I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah. So, I saw the pictures.
Yeah, we had fun. We had a good time there. Got to hang out with other podcasters now, which is unusual, even ones that aren't Horse Radio Network. So that was fun. And, you know, now I will say that we were the noisy, rowdy group in the back.
Why am I not surprised?
So now I would like to say that we were the fun group in the back because.
Well, hey, I've been at tables with you and it is a fun table. So.
And a little loud at times.
Next year it'll be in Lexington. So, you know, it's coming to my city. So I'm excited for next May. It's earlier next year.
Well, we were definitely the fun, loud, obnoxious group, which you would expect from podcasters. So so there's that. Who are we brought to by today?
Today's episode is brought to you by title sponsor Straight Arrow Products. Mane & Tail's newest premium product line, Ultimate Gloss, will leave your horse's mane, tail, and coat with an award-winning shine. If you are looking for a formula that gets down to the skin, releasing dirt, dander, and buildup from your horse's coat, then Ultimate Gloss is your go-to bathing solution. Made with natural ingredients, Ultimate Gloss provides a gentle way to leave your horse with a high-gloss, long-lasting shine. Discover the secret behind the Boss of Gloss by visiting our website at ultimategloss.com. Coming up first is our interview with Jackie Hobbs Crawford, a 20-time Women's Professional Rodeo Association world champion who has also earned 3 National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association National Breakaway Roping titles. Now she trains horses while excelling in rodeo events and roping and conducts clinics at the training facility in Stephenville, Texas, that she shares with her husband, Charlie Crawford, who is a 10-time National Finals Rodeo qualifier in heading, and their 3 children. Well, hi, Jackie. Welcome to the Horse Illustrated episode of Horses in the Morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we had done a great story about you in our Western Life magazine, and one of our freelancers wrote it. And I wanted to add in a quote from it and then talk about what it was talking about. In the article, it said, when Jackie Crawford won the inaugural Wrangler National Finals of Breakaway Roping World title in 2020 while 6 months pregnant, women rejoiced. Being a female roper is challenging enough, and to compete while pregnant was next level. Motherhood aside, Crawford's roping career has been defined by optimism, hard work, and perseverance. It's how she's earned 20 world titles in breakaway, team roping, and all around, and at the time of publication, ranked first in breakaway in the Women's Professional Rodeo Association with more than $520,000 in career earnings. Now, first, I'm sure anyone who has a baby can agree that winning a national title at 6 months pregnant is next level, but especially something so physically demanding as team roping. What made you want to keep going in 2020 for that title?
You know, I just think that was such, like, we're in such monumental years for the breakaway roping. And so, you know, it was hard to not, like, try to keep going when you've put as much work into it as we have. And then to see it open up that year, you know, and it was kind of one of those things. It's like, these opportunities are here. The doors are opening. Be a part of it. And I've always wanted to be a part of it. I've always wanted to see those things happen. And so when I felt fine roping, we struggled back and forth about, you know, should I, shouldn't I? And when it came down to it, they're like, are you comfortable? And I'm like, 100% comfortable. I don't, like, it doesn't bother me at all, especially, you know, I took out the bigger risk. I didn't ride anything except my older horse. And so I told them, I said, the day that I feel uncomfortable one bit, I will call and draw out. And I never felt that feeling.
Well, it's great. It worked for you that year. You have quite the resume. What do you think is the secret to your success?
You know, I think loving it. I love that. And I love breakaway roping. I love roping. I love the horse industry. I love hard work. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with the horse industry. Work ethic is huge in my household, and I think that anytime you're going to be in the horse industry, you have to have that. And so just pushing on, doing what I love, and just seeing doors open because you show passion for it and work hard for it.
Now, the article also talked about how you, your mom instilled that hard work ethic in you, and she was a big part of your early years. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, my mom was just a really, really hard worker. She busted her butt. She held down 2 and 3 jobs while raising me and trying to keep horses underneath us and give me opportunities. And she just was kind of like one of those no excuses, outwork everyone, put the extra effort in, go the extra mile. And she just never would let me not accept that. And so once I turned a page and could see that, man, it just kind of stuck with me.
And of course, now you're a busy mom yourself. You have 16-year-old Cadence, 4-year-old Creed, and your new baby girl, Journey. I know our Western Life article mentions some of the creative ways you've balanced motherhood and riding and competing. But how do you and also Charlie balance it all with your facility, 3 kids, training for some top names in the industry, and competing?
We don't.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a constant circus. There is not really a balance. You just kind of keep moving forward and hope everything falls where it should.
I got to tell you, I love that you said that. We have interviewed so many professional riders that come up with a long answer for the balance thing that makes them sound superhuman. So hearing you say that just makes my day.
No. There is none. I mean, it really is. You just feel like you're in a tornado at all times.
Sarah, you feel that way right now, too. So
I can relate. I have a lot going on right now with family and kids and my kid. And so now, of course, you've got your extra special horse, T-Boy, who helped you win your first national finals breakaway roping championship. And more recently, your 20th world title in 2020. Can you tell us a little bit about him and what makes him so great?
That horse has just always been a winner. There's honestly, you know, it's kind of like Larry D says, he's kind of one of the most underrated horses there is in the breakaway because he doesn't show fancy, doesn't like do anything necessarily spectacular, except he just gives you opportunities to win over and over and over again and kind of just takes care of everybody that swings a leg over him.
And you've had him a really long time, right?
Yeah, this has been the 11th year competing on him.
Wow. So I have a different kind of question. If you hadn't chosen the disciplines you have and could do something totally different, is there one that you've always wanted to try that would be a completely different change for you?
Cow horse.
Cow horse?
All day. Oh man. I would love to do the working cow horse stuff. I love it. It intrigues the heck out of me.
I wanted to ask this. I know that reining has become popular in other countries. Are the roping events becoming popular too, like in Germany and Italy and all over?
It has been, and I think it just continues to grow. We get messages from girls overseas and in different countries and stuff, and they're really seeing everything explode, and they're getting into it. You know, I think it just, you know, different setups in different countries make it a little difficult, but it's blowing up everywhere.
Well, why do you think that is?
I honestly think because of the opportunities here. I think that it's being seen more and, more opportunities. And I think those girls are seeing that and seeing it on television and seeing all this stuff happening. And, you know, they're wanting to put it into where they are.
I mean, barrel racing is fun, but boy, but you're still doing this kind of the same thing every show, right? It's different every show, really. I mean, you're kind of doing the same thing, but every show is different because there's so many variables to this as opposed to the barrels don't run away.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of, I mean, I get that there's different patterns, you know, there's standard pattern, then you're going to get smaller patterns. So your times are going to be different. But, you know, for us, the variables that are going to change are the box length and the barrier length and things like that. But you can never control what a calf does.
Nope.
You know, you just can't. You can try to predict it. You can try to write what he does down previous, but you can never truly predict what they're going to do. So there's just so many things that can go crazy.
Do you have any particular, specific runs that you remember that like stand out in your mind for any reason? Or at this point, do they all kind of run together since you've done so many?
No, I mean, there's definitely been one of my favorite runs would always have to be Chicago. When the WCRA first added breakaway, it was the first time that they gave $50,000 to a breakaway roper and put us in as a full event, full money. And I ended up coming down to the final two and won that round. And that was just a really special run. That was really cool because it meant a lot for us to be an equal event.
So what's next on the horizon for you?
Well, we are at the tour finale in Salinas, California right now. I'm actually in a truckload of breakaway ropers, some of the best in the world. And we are all headed to the airport to catch a plane to go to Amarillo, Texas, to rope at the pro rodeo there and then turn right around and come back to Salinas, California.
It never stops.
And I get to see Charlie and my daughter and Creed are all coming to Amarillo, and then Creed's flying back with me and Journey and all the girls to Salinas. So, yeah. Again, in the tornado. Here we go.
Do they enjoy all that traveling?
You know, they honestly, this has been so fun. This is the first time like we've actually left home and stayed gone for as long as we have. But it's been really fun. We purchased a bus, like a motorhome, before we left. And it's been the coolest thing to be able to. I've spent more time with my kids this summer than I've ever gotten to spend at home. Because at home you're working constantly, you know, and you're always stuff to do. And here it's like you're driving, but we get to hang out in the bus. And so we've got to spend more time. We've gone to more carnivals. And I mean, like, we know half of the carnival people by name because Creed thinks when you pull up to the rodeo, it's a carnival. And he just has so much fun. Every water park, every adventure. So it's we've had a good time.
Well, Glenn, it seems like everybody I know is getting motorhomes and whatnot. And I have this dream of getting a motorhome one day and traveling while I'm retired. So I'm jealous. It's
You'll
a very big
it.
Thing
it's
in the horse
so
industry.
Fun.
So, your website is JackieCrawfordRoping.com. And of course, if anybody wants to read the story about Jackie that Horse Illustrated did in Western Life magazine, they can check out horseillustrated.com/western-life. And I will put that in the show notes along with a link to Jackie's website. But we wish you luck in your upcoming event and safe travels and all that. And thank you for joining us.
Okay. Thanks a bunch, you guys.
This episode is brought to you by our title sponsor, Straight Arrow Products. With Cowboy Magic's Green Spot Remover, you can do more of what you love and spend less time in the wash stall. Cut bath time in half with this waterless shampoo for quick grooming solution while saving water at your barn. The easy-to-use sprayer bottle is the perfect tool when looking for a quick clean before the show or before a leisurely ride. Green Spot Remover is a plant-based, waterless formula that is safe to use on all coats, not just for grays. The natural enzymes will remove manure and urine spots without drying out the skin and coat. The best part, it only takes a few steps to use. Learn more about how to use it and where to purchase it at cowboymagic.com. Green Spot Remover.
And now we have a special offer for our podcast listeners. We have special rates posted on our website for Horse Illustrated magazine subscriptions in any format. You've got print, digital, and combo subscriptions. Plus, if you'd like to get our sister publication for a special kid in your life, we have a lot of people buy those for like nieces and nephews, grandchildren, their own kids, or just family friends. They make great gifts. We also offer special rates on Young Rider magazine, which is the horse magazine for tweens and teens ages 8 to 15. So check out our website at horseillustrated.com/HRN for all those special rates and hope to see some more readers. Our next guest is Dwayne Hildreth, an owner of two performance quarter horses, Chance and Jagger, who has been competing in rein, cow horse, and stock horse competitions for just over a year. And he's also on the board of directors for Brook USA. Brook USA's mission is to significantly improve the welfare of 100 million working horses, donkeys, and mules who are helping to support 600 million of the poorest people throughout Asia, Africa, the Middle East, the Americas, and the Caribbean. And one great thing about interview with Dwayne talking about Brooke USA, we did an article about them in the July 2021 issue. So if people want to go back and check it out, we'll put it online and I'll have links in the show notes. Hi, Dwayne. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sarah, how are you? Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I really wish we'd gotten to meet in person like you did get to meet Glenn at AHP, but, you know, hopefully next year.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm gunning to be there next year, so I'm sure I'll get a chance to meet you.
So before we talk about what all Brooke USA does, can you clarify for our audience what Brooke, the differences between Brooke and Brooke USA?
Yes. The Brooke is, as we call it, a Brooke UK is what it's referred to, is Europe-based and was originally founded by Dorothy Brooke, but it wasn't called that at the time. Dorothy Brooke is the founder of the Old War Horse Memorial Hospital in 1934, in Cairo. And she'd gone over there originally with her husband, who was in the military when he was fighting in World War I. Once she saw the deplorable conditions that the horses were placed in after the war was over, she took it upon herself to start a mission to try to save those horses. So that was the original Brooke organization, as it were. And it's referred to as the Brooke or Brooke UK.
Okay.
Years later, more than 30, 40 years later, Brooke USA was founded along with other branches of Brooke across the world to give more of a global presence to the foundation and what we were trying to accomplish, all in the efforts to provide, you know, awareness and support for those animals. So we are a sister organization to Brooke. We fund them. We fund their projects along with other projects that we fund, but primarily we are a sister branch of the Brooke.
You know, that's interesting because that's kind of how the Red Cross is set up, too, across the world.
Yes.
It's almost exactly
like
that.
It makes sense when you grow that big. And I'm sure she never imagined when she first started it that it would get that huge and, you know, that pervasive throughout all different parts of the world. So what all does Brooke USA do to help the working horses of the world?
Well, we can dive into the weeds, or I can just kind of give you an overall mission. But the mission of Brooke primarily is to significantly improve the health, welfare and productivity of working horses, donkeys and mules, and the people who depend on them for survival worldwide. So we're committed to sustainable economic development by reducing poverty, increasing food security, ensuring access to water, and providing means to education. So in the effort to raise basic standards of living to improve the equine health. That is our primary goal and focus with the horses. And we're unique in the fact that not only as I focus on the horses themselves and working equines when I refer to donkeys, horses, and mules, but also the people that own them, the people that, you know, they work for, so that it's a more holistic approach to enhancing the lives of both the human and the animal.
You know, I think it's such a great mission, and a lot of it's something maybe people here in the United States might not think about. You know, you're here riding your horse and thinking about how. Like I was reading about one of the latest missions is to help the worldwide donkeys, and the people are using these donkeys to do basic things like carry water and firewood and to help in agriculture, and to they're used in commercial activities, maybe for, you know, traveling or pulling a cart. And from the website, I read that last year alone, 159,631 donkeys in Kenya were slaughtered for their skins. And an estimated 60 donkeys a week are being stolen from Kenyan owners who depend on them for daily life to make a living. And then at this rate, donkeys will vanish from the African continent by 2023. And that's a year and a half, 2 years away. And that just blows my mind. And these people are so dependent on their animals. Can you tell us why this is happening and how Brooke USA is helping with the donkey hide crisis?
Yeah, so the hides of the donkeys are being used to provide a gelatin mix from the donkeys. And it's estimated that about 4.8 million of these donkeys' hides are used every year for this. And so for what our mission is to petition Amazon, and actually the president of Amazon, the CEO, Andy Jassy, to take the product from the shelves of Amazon. And what the supplements that are used and the gelatin that is used here are provided for beauty products and also to help supposedly increase men's libido and those types of things. And we just think it's a horrible situation. So that's our main objective, is to try to stop that from happening. So far, we've made some really marketable headway in trying to get this stopped. So that's one of our main missions right now. And the product is called Ejao.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Ejao?
Yeah, it's spelled Ejiao. Yes. Ejao.
So people need to check their products too, like what you're buying and what ingredients are. Would that be helpful for
Absolutely.
These donkeys?
Yes. And to find out more about it, because there's lots of information and lots of efforts that we're putting behind this, but to find out more about it, the listeners or the people can go to brookusa.org/Amazon, where they can find out, you know, more of the statistics related to what we're talking about. And then also send in their own personal request to have the products pulled from the shelves.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure some of our listeners would love to get involved. I also was reading about, you know, everybody's been dealing with COVID-19 and dealing with a pandemic, but there's many impacts that, I don't know, I just haven't thought of, because, you know, I'm in my own insular world trying to deal with COVID. And
we've
got women that are still using donkeys to walk miles to fetch water, farmers that are using mules to take to crowded hot markets to sell goods. You've got children that use them for chores, or maybe they're traveling to and from somewhere. And often in these communities, there's limited access to health care. There's lack of public information about the pandemic, living arrangements, and there's no like self-quarantine or social distancing. And obviously distance learning, that's been hard enough in the U.S. to coordinate and whatnot. So, you know, it's hard in a lot of these communities. How has Brook USA, I know they've been involved in helping to relieve some of the strain from COVID-19 throughout the world.
Yeah, so we have various relief funds that we approach and address that you just discussed. And primarily right now, our hands, I would say, have been a little bit tied somewhat, as you mentioned, you know, here in the United States. But the funding for education and the funding for supplies and medical equipment still exists. And so we have all our campaigns, you know, again, within the website, and I'll give that information when we finish talking, about how to contribute to those particular causes, whether it be the Women's in the Donkeys Crusade, the women who are utilizing donkeys, or the various other outlets by which you can contribute financially to help with education. Because it's primarily what we're finding out is that we can teach the users and the owners of these animals to be aware of what's going on, then there's more of a sustainable process in keeping that animal alive and well. In normal times, quote unquote normal times, when we're able to travel to these countries globally and actually have some hands-on involvement, it's a more ideal situation. But currently, right now, we've had to work through our constituents and our partners in those countries to make sure that those products and services are getting delivered to them. The people that need them.
Well, it sounds like Brook USA is so involved with so many different projects. I was reading about like different ones, and there were just so many all around different countries. And but on a lighter note, you yourself have an interesting horse journey. And of course, we always talk with guests about their horse experience and their horse journeys. You just started riding not that long ago, and now you are competing. Do you want to talk about a little bit about your horses and what you're doing now with them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can kind of tell it to you holistically and how that ended up ultimately getting me involved with Brook as well. It's kind of a unique story, but, I've always loved horses since I was a kid. As far back as I can remember, I was a kid that ran to the circus and wanted to get on the pony, or wanted my parents to stop on the side of the road so I could see horses grazing in that field. And, you know, my grandparents noticed that in me, and it purchased a little Shetland pony for me when I was in grade school. And I got to ride it periodically. We didn't live that close to my grandparents, so it wasn't as regular as I would have liked. And then obviously I outgrew that pony. And then every once in a while where I would have the opportunity, if a friend invited me to ride, I'd go out and do trail rides and things like that, but never really had access to horses on a regular basis. But the concept of owning a horse or being around horses stuck with me since childhood. When I was living in Houston, working there, I met a guy and his family. He was at the time a reining horse trainer. And we just met through a mutual friend. I found out what he did, and he invited me out to where he was training, and I started going out there, really enjoying being around the horses, being around the barn, learning, not particularly riding, but just watching and observing. Well, that friendship developed into where he's still one of my best friends today, and he would often come up to Dallas and go to sales, horse sales, and I would go with him periodically, and one time we went, and I didn't go there expecting to purchase a horse, but long story short, I walked away from that sale with a horse. And it was my intent that the horse would be something that would be trained and then I could eventually ride it. But what ended up happening was it became a futurity prospect, which he trained and showed in the futurity and the Hackmore Classic. And then the most recently made the finals in the World Show earlier this year in February in the limited open Hackmore. So with all that happening, that span took about 2 or 3 years, but I was then at that time beginning to want to ride myself. I'd been to enough shows, and he transitioned from reining to reining cow horse, which I really, gravitated to. So long story short, I ended up purchasing a horse for myself that I could ride. And that's how I ended up with the two. And so since that time, I now have both horses with me here in Denton, Texas, and I've been competing just about over a year. When I say on a regular basis, because there was times when I would go to a show, but because I didn't know how to, I did not have the wherewithal or the resources to haul to a show, I could only go to the shows that he was going to. But now I've since purchased my own trailer, and this journey is really taken off for me. So I'm excited about the future in the sport of cow horse. It's what I want to do. And I have goals next year to really compete at a higher level. So I'm using the balance of this year to train on those horses specific to reining cow horse.
If people want to find out more about Brook USA, what was that website again?
The website is www.brookusa.org. And within the website, it's very self-explanatory, and you can go and find out more information about the projects and the causes that we're supporting, as well as how to donate online. So we welcome any and all to come help us in our cause to be more supportive of our work in equine partners.
And we will put a link to that website in our show notes, along with a link to the article that we ran about Brook USA and the Brook in our July issue. And thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about horses and to talk about Brook USA Foundation. Thank you so much.
And this episode is also sponsored by Farnam, devoted to your equine family for 75 years and running. Farnam makes everything you need to keep your horse looking and feeling his best, from head to hoof, inside and out, everything from fly control, supplements, and dewormers, to grooming supplies and leather care. Farnam is showing you their appreciation with a very special 75th anniversary giveaway. Visit farnam.com/75-giveaway. for a chance to win a custom special edition Farnam 75th anniversary John Deere gator. This gator is gorgeous, and it is filled with $1,000 worth of Farnam horse care products. Somebody is going to win all of that, so it might as well be you. Farnam, your partner in horse care.
I want to win that.
I do too. Well, I don't even have a horse and I want to win it.
I want to win a gator with full of stuff.
I
want to
win it so then I can get a horse.
I want to win it. Well, next up, our final guest of the day is an old friend of the show. You probably have heard him on the show if you're a longtime listener, and that's Daniel Stewart. Of course, he is the equestrian sports psychology guy. Combining his knowledge as an equestrian with a degree in physical education, he created an empowering and inspiring clinic series that helps riders develop Equally Strong Minds and Bodies. And he's an internationally acclaimed author of many different books, Pressure Proof Your Riding, Ride Right, Fit and Focused in 52, and most recently, Bolder, Braver, and Brighter. And they're all through Trafalgar Square, who got to spend some time with at the conference. And he's widely considered one of the world's leading experts on equestrian sports psychology, athletics, and performance. And he's just a fun, interesting guy. Well, hi, Daniel. Welcome back.
Hey, Glenn. It's good talking to you again. We're old friends, not because we've known each other that long, but because we're both getting pretty old.
Yes, that's true.
I looked. Your voice. Thanks for bringing
you
back.
Were one of our first guests on this show, like on episode maybe number 10 back in 2010. And I took a look at Horse Radio Network. You have been on a number of our shows, probably one of our most prolific guests. So that tells me you have nothing else to do but hang out with us.
My whole life is just sitting by the phone waiting for you to call.
I know.
Thank goodness you called. I was feeling bad about myself. I just every time I don't hear from you, I write another book. They take a long time, but you got to call me more often.
I looked at the notes. I get Trafalgar Square's books. I probably have your book here. I get all the books from them, and I saw another one come, Bolder, Braver, Brighter by Daniel Stewart. And I said, well, he had nothing to do during COVID times. He wrote another book. This is like his 18th book now. So how does this differ from your other ones? How is it different?
You know, it's interesting. If you hold them all up together, they're all going to have a pretty picture on the front. They'll all have a picture of a rider on the front, but this book is quite a bit different. My earlier books talk a lot about general sports psychology. We talk about visualization and talk a great deal about goal setting and that sort of thing. But this book I think it goes a little bit deeper. It's a bit like an onion. You peel this book away, and every time you peel a layer away, there's another layer, and some of those layers make you cry a little bit. Because this book will jump a little bit deeper into things like a fear of failure, a fear of harm, a fear of imperfections, and that sort of thing. I think what makes this book so different is that it speaks more to having pride in yourself, not comparing yourselves to others, worrying about letting people down. This book is a real interesting look at sports psychology. But again, I shine the light on the individual in this book. And how we can create the best version of ourselves. Like I said before, no longer comparing ourselves like to others or worrying about what judges are thinking or being nervous about what spectators are saying and things like that. So it's a beautiful book. And I just got to give props to Trafalgar. It's such a pretty book.
Well, you know,
it really is.
It doesn't sound like that's a book for riders. It sounds like it's a book for life.
So I wonder if it's, you know, I wonder if I'm like an equestrian in disguise. I wonder if I'm not one of those mental, you know, what are they, motivational speakers? How come you haven't asked me to do a TED talk yet? This book is just on how to become a brighter, braver, bolder version of yourself. And hey, if I could, you know what I'd love to do? I haven't done this yet, but there's a paragraph in this book that I think defines the entire book. Could I read that paragraph?
Sure, yeah.
I think it takes 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did this for you. I think this is probably the smartest thing I've ever said. And I say some smart stuff, but I think this paragraph might be like literally, I read this and I'm like, dang it.
Well, okay. Wait a minute. Stop. Let us determine that. So you go ahead and read it, and then we'll tell you if it's the smartest thing you've ever said.
Okay. So this chapter said it. This chapter is about wondering, wishing, and worrying about other people. It's about worrying what they think of you and how you think you compare to them. It's about trying to live up to the expectation of some people while worrying about letting others down. It's about comparing yourself to others and feeling bad because they've achieved more or failed less than you. It's about thinking of the judge when you should be thinking about your first jump and worrying about the crowd when you should be thinking about your last one. It's about spending all your time trying to be like one person while trying not to be beaten by another. It's about feeling certain you'll do poorly because everyone else is doing so well, and feeling uncertain you'll do well because everyone thinks so poorly of you. It's about worrying that your performance won't make your trainer happy or nervous, it'll make your teammate sad. It's about feeling as if you're a failure just because you failed, and about wishing you looked more like someone else and less like yourself. So, that's brilliant.
It is. Oh, it is, and it applies again. We don't. That applies everybody. To yeah. life. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a horse person or not. We all. It's human nature to feel all of those things.
Mm-hmm. It really is. My daughter, she's 15. She's a sophomore in high school, and this is what she feels. She comes home and she, you know, we live this Instagram filtered life of ours where we want to be taller and people with straight hair want to have curly hair and we all want whiter teeth. And we've got ourselves into a little bit of trouble because we're no longer living our lives to create the best version of ourselves, but we're trying to live a life that perhaps looks like the best version of somebody else. And the next, further on in the chapter, this is the chapter on shame, because when you do compare yourself to others or feeling like you've let people down, then there is only one result. I mean, there's no way around it. It just equals shame, and shame is the darkest emotion of all, because that's the shame where you stop loving yourself. So this book is about, it's about that. But like you said, this isn't a book for just for riders. Lend it to your husband who plays golf, or your son who plays basketball, or your daughter who's a sophomore in high school who is not the tallest or smartest. Yeah,
well,
pretty important subject.
It's interesting that you say that too. We're going to go deeper here, because it's interesting that you say that, and you brought up Instagram, and you know, of course, Facebook, and even YouTube for that matter. Since we talked, the first time 10 years ago, the world has changed, and it's changed because of social media. Social media was a thing back then, but not like it is now, and not like it is with the filtered view of people's lives. You know, it's such a filtered view now that everybody has crap, right? Everybody goes through stuff, but nobody puts that on Facebook or Instagram. We always put the pretty pictures. We don't put the ones where we're crying our eyeballs out on the couch about something. So how...
And if we did, we throw the filter on it, so we look like a pretty awesome, amazing specimen of a human, even after they'd cried.
So how have you had to change your clinics and everything you do because of this new paragraph you just wrote?
You know what? I'm not so sure if I didn't change everything. So much of my work it sort of goes in two directions. With adults, oftentimes mental coaching is corrective medicine. You know, we take our inappropriate behaviors, a fear of failure, comparing ourselves to others, overthinking, overanalyzing, analysis paralysis, judging ourselves based on the best version of ourselves 20 years ago. Adults, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. So for adults, you know, these programs are corrective medicines. Let's take our inappropriate behaviors and change them with more positive, empowering, brighter, bolder, braver behaviors. But with young riders, it's about preventative medicine. You know, if we can teach young riders to find pride in themselves, to believe that they are not a failure just because they failed, to define themselves by their effort rather than outcomes. You know, outcomes, the shiny medals, or the color of a ribbon, or the step on a podium. Those are so dangerous, because when we don't get that ribbon, then we define ourselves as less than or as a failure. So with adults, this program can be corrective medicine. Let's fix what we've broken. But with the youngsters, it can be preventative medicine, meaning over the last 20 years, the last 15 years since Instagram has been filtering us, I believe that my whole program has shifted towards the individual and having pride in yourself and not falling into that trap, because it's a big trap, right? I mean, it's just right in front of us. You just got to pick up your phone and open TikTok, and there's a brilliant example of, you know, what maybe somebody else defines as beautiful or successful or fit or talented. And every time we do that, we get ourselves in a little bit of trouble, because we might not look like that person or cook like that person or whatever it is. So I hope this book, you know, it's funny, the back cover of the book is just as fun as the front cover. The back cover of the quote is, the secret to having it all is knowing you already do. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I listen to those words and I just think that's something everybody needs to remember, especially in this world where perhaps we don't always feel, you know, like we're rising to the top. We feel like we're treading water, not going anywhere. So, my books, this book is just really, really finely, I've taken that telescope and turned it into a microscope. and I put the self underneath it so we can all talk or have that discussion about how we can create something amazing in ourselves, knowing that it's already in there. We just need to bring it out.
So with this book, you know, we ran an excerpt in Horse Illustrated, but it seems like it would be great for kids as well. And for like the young rider audience, what would you say the like target audience, age range type, you know, what's the span that this book can cover so that people know, hey, you know, I may be 18, 17, whatever, and I can still read this book and gather a lot of great life advice from it.
I would say if you're alive, right, Daniel? It's that's the age group. If you're alive,
bottom limit on age.
You know what? I'm just gonna go back and give props to Trafalgar again because they said, Coach, when you write this book, you need to be mindful. This subject is a valuable subject that it should be written for everybody. You know, a Western rider should be able to pick this up. A hunter should pick it up. An event rider should pick it up. A mom who doesn't know anything about riding should pick it up. And that little kid lying on the ground looking up at her pony should pick it up. You know, and to this, and I imagine that I've always sort of been like this. There are dark subjects in the book. We're going to talk about a fear of failure. We're going to talk about shame, about a fear of harm. You know, so many of us live our lives with one foot on the brake because we fell off last week. I'm going to break fear down, help you understand what's causing it, and then more importantly, help you to understand truly how to move beyond that fear. But let's be honest, the fear of harm is a pretty dark subject. So I'll make sure I throw out like a Fergus cartoon or a joke on that page. Now, it looks like the Fergus cartoon is there because I'm targeting a young audience, but no, I'm talking about a dark subject. So I'm going to put a bright, light, humorous comic to lighten the mood a little tiny bit. So the book is written for all disciplines, for all ages, and for even non-riders. Just if you know anybody who's struggling at public speaking or who lost a job or who has a sick loved one, give them the book. Let them look at the pretty bright photographs and then let them just open up a page and dare them to get beyond the picture of the horse and to dive into the book a little bit because the words are the most important, even though the pictures are the prettiest. But there's not one word in this book that can't help one person, regardless of age, discipline, sport, or non-sport. So, yeah,
it's a
pretty cool book.
Getting past fear is one of the best things people can do for themselves. Like I was telling Glenn at one point, one of my biggest fears used to be public speaking. And I made myself like, I'm going to get past this. And I joined Toastmasters. And that was a fabulous experience. Got past, you know, here I am doing a podcast now. I've done several speeches in front of groups. You know, you still get the general nerves that help you hopefully do well and have a good speech or a good podcast and whatnot. But, you know, people learning to get past their fears and their biggest, obstacles in life is, it's like, I think people should take it as a challenge.
Well, it's everything to us, isn't it? Because the fear holds us back. It blinds us. It's an anchor that just pulls us down. And if fear does the same thing to everybody, it just inhibits.
Well, haven't we proved that in the last year when everybody in the world had fear?
Absolutely. And wait a second. I don't even want to start jumping into that conversation.
But it's true. I mean, it's probably the first time in history, since World War II, that the whole world has had a very common fear.
A collective fear. Yeah. And we all, you know, we all adapted and reacted differently to it. And it's interesting, speaking to the other comment, the book will discuss two kinds of fears, rational and irrational. And as horrible as this sounds, you know, the fear of public speaking is an irrational fear. See, the point of a fear is to keep you alive. This is interesting. When I was young, my dad took me mountain climbing. I fell. Like, I did a fall, like you see in the movies. I did a really bad fall, a little bit more, and I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Now, it probably doesn't come as a surprise. I have a wicked big fear of heights. 40 years later, I'm still have a fear of heights. Now, I have a fear of heights because my brain has equated a height with my survival instinct. My brain is keeping me safe by keeping me away from cliffs. Makes perfect sense, because fear of falling is a rational fear because I almost died. The problem is, the fear of public speaking is an irrational, that's what they call it, even though it feels rational, it's an irrational fear because it is not associated with your survival instinct.
Exactly.
It might be associated with your ego. It might be associated with, you know, letting people down or comparing yourself to others. So the book jumps into, you know, rational and irrational fears. But I think the smartest part about this book is I'll dissect fears and let you know why they happen, like my fear of falling. I shouldn't feel bad that I have a fear of heights. I should just understand it. And if I can understand it, come to grips with it, if I can own it, then I can start to overcome it. So, yeah, there's lots of different fears. And we'll discuss rational and irrational fears, the fear of being judged, the fear of losing, the fear of letting somebody down. Those are all irrational fears. But in our sport, we also have to shine a light on rational fears, like the fear of falling, the fear of being run away, the fear of spooks, all of those are important. We can't just pretend that we should be okay with them or get over them or deal with them. You can't deal with the fear of harm. You've got to overcome it. You've got to own it. And again, the book does what I believe to be a real good job in describing it, how your brain interprets fears, and how we can change that interpretation. So pretty cool. Yeah.
Hey, we're running out of time, Daniel. Where can people get it?
You know what? This is interesting. They can order one directly from me at pressureproofacademy.com. Now, if they order it from me, it'll come autographed. I think that's nice. My son's got a stack of autograph books, hockey and tennis books. It's all fun. So if anybody would like to order one from me, pressureproofacademy.com. It's going to take a little while. and if they're in a rush for it, they should go straight to Trafalgar Square Books. An amazing publisher, wonderful people, people in this industry who just want to share information with those people who are looking for it. So I can't say enough about Trafalgar Square. I dare you to find a prettier book. I dare you to find a book. See, I asked him, I said, can you make this big and bold and colorful? Can it pop off the page? Can I have cartoons? Can I have jokes? Can I have fill in the blanks? And they said yes to all of it except for fill in the blanks. And then I said, you know, I've been talking to a lot of my riders. They really like that fill in the blank part. And then Trafalgar goes, all right, we'll put in fill in the blank parts if that's what the readers want. So good on you, Trafalgar Square. They can order the book directly from me. And if they wanted a faster, they can just go directly to Trafalgar Square Books and order it from them.
If you can't spell that, it's horseandriderbooks.com is their website as well. Daniel, thank you so much. We'll have you back in another 10 years, okay?
Okay. That'll give me time to write another book.
Yeah, you'll have 10 done by that time. No, seriously.
You give me a call in a couple months, all right? I love talking to you, being a part of this forum, and it's good information. Thanks for letting me, thanks for giving me a voice tonight. I sure appreciate it.
Today, we'd like to thank our sponsors. First, our title sponsor, the Straight Arrow family of brands, makers of Mane & Tail, Cowboy Magic, and Exhibitors, with over 100 years of grooming excellence. For more information about your favorite products, please visit straightarrowinc.com and find all the products at a tack shop near you. And also, our newest premier sponsor, Farnam, your partner in horse care. Horse Illustrated can be found online at horseillustrated.com.
And you can find the links to today's guests and show notes at horsesinthemorning.com or horseillustrated.com/podcast. We'll also put links to all the articles about the guests that were in Horse Illustrated. So if you want to learn more about them, we'll have those in the show notes as well. You can just scroll right on your phone and click the link and go right there and read the article. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning and have all of the Horse Radio Network shows with you wherever you go with our free app, iPhone or Android. Just search Horse Radio Network.
Happy reading and riding.